It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith. We're taking a couple weeks off here from the Kyle Meredith With podcast, but I wanted to thank you for listening in this year by sharing some of our favorite interviews from 2023. We'll be back with brand new interviews on January 8th. But for now, let's head back and revisit one of my latest interviews with Les Claypool of Primus.
Can you hear me? Sight and sound. Hot diggity.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith, back once again talking with Les Claypool. It's our annual interview, or what it's turned out to be an annual thing at this point. This time, we're talking about Colonel Les Claypool's Fearless Flying Frog Brigade, who's back for a summer tour. First time in like 20 years or something like that, that he's done this band. It's a jam band, it's a jazz band, it's a lot of different things. So he's going to give us the history on the group and why he decided to bring it back. And like 20 years ago, why he'll be covering the Pink Floyd album Animals in full on this summer tour. We'll also talk about the new lineup that includes his buddy Sean Ono Lennon. Of course, he and Sean have the Claypool Lennon Delirium. So we're going to get the updates on that album as well. In fact, I'm hearing we're about halfway. They're about halfway done with that album. So let's see. We're going to talk about covering Tool recently. He fronted a band for a charity event with members of Tool. I'm going to nudge him a little bit to maybe, since he likes doing albums in full, taking on a Tool album. Would that not be the best? So we'll get into that. We're going to discuss last year's Primus EP, maybe doing another Frog Brigade LP, and also working with Billy Strings. He's been working with Billy Strings on a record for a while now, so we'll get the update there as well. So let's dive into it. We're talking Colonel Les Claypool's Fearless Flying Frog Brigade. It's Kyle Meredith with Les Claypool.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. It's good to see it. Let's see, because this time around, we're going to be talking about the return of Colonel Les Claypool's Fearless Flying Frog Brigade. It's hard, the BRs and the
yeah, FR. Almost had it. You had it up till the end there, and then you kind of stumbled.
No matter how many times I practice. I'll also mention you're actually going to be coming through here to Louisville to the Iroquois Amphitheater Sunday, May 28th.
Yeah, I always stumble over Louisville.
I can explain the whole thing, but it's just, you got it actually pretty close to perfect right there. So I'll give it to you.
All right. you guys decided just to ignore a bunch of consonants. So,
my joke is, you know, it technically is named after King Louis, I want to say 13th, but it's King Lul, King Lul. Apparently it's King Lul that we've named it after. So anyway, here we have the Frog Brigade.
Yes.
We'll just start in the easy place. What brought this back? Why now?
It was public demand. There was this huge, massive demand. I don't know. My manager just said, let's do this Frog Brigade thing. What do you think? And I was like, okay, sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I hadn't done it in a while. We're in between, you know, we did big, had a couple big Primus years, so it's kind of time to let that breathe a little. So we're doing it. We're heading out. Learning our Pink Floyd, getting our Pink Floyd on. So,
which, you know, is where you left off last time, which has been 20 years, I guess. And I'll get to the Pink Floyd thing, but the idea of this band, like, it's not the same lineup exactly. I mean, you've got some holdovers, I think, in here, but for you, when you have, I don't know, as many creations as you have, and I guess I'm talking about bands, like, how much meaning do you put on that? How much emphasis do you put on it? Because you could put your name on anything and have any kind of roster and name it any sort of thing you wanted to. I mean, what makes this, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I mean, you know, this whole thing started as, you know, Michael Bailey and Bill Graham Presents used to put on this festival in Mountain Air, and it was in Calaveras County, where the famous Jumping Frog of Calaveras County, Mark Twain story. And after I'd done Oysterhead, they asked me, hey, people kept asking me, hey, can you put together a project for our festival? And so I put together something for this festival, and I had Tim Alexander and Jack Irons on drums, and I had my buddy Merv on guitar, and then Skarik on sax. And I was going to call it the Thunder Brigade because we had two drummers. And Michael was like, you know, that might be a little heavy coming into the jam world, and, you know, might freak out some of the hippies. And, you know, because here comes the Primus guy with a band called Thunder Brigade with two drummers. So I called it Frog Brigade because it was so, I mean, the band's always been morphing and mutating. It sort of just depends on the record. But this version of the Fearless Flying Frog Brigade, it harkens back to us doing the Pink Floyd Animals in its entirety. So that's sort of what defines this. Whereas later on it became the Purple Onion Band. And then, you know, it just kind of kept evolving from there. So some of my guys just weren't available. I mean, you know, Jay Lane and Jeff Comanti they're busy, you know, playing Grateful Dead songs all summer. So
and Jack's not in it either, right? Jack's not in this version.
No, Jack is only in that first version. So I got Paolo Baldi, who's been playing with, like, you know, a version of the Frog Brigade and the Fancy Band over the years. You know, people just tend to kind of throw a moniker on it these days as to whatever, you know, the Fungi and Faux Band or all these, whatever. But, and then I got Sean Lennon on guitar, which is great because then we can dip into a little bit of Delirium if we want. And then Harry Waters is an old friend, and he was very excited to do it. So it's going to be a good band.
You made my heart flutter a little bit when you said Delirium. I think last time I was asking you if you guys were working on something, and I know there were some projects, and I thought, oh, maybe that's on the side because this is in the way, but maybe not.
Well, we are halfway. I think we're more than halfway done with a new Delirium record. So we are working on some Delirium.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Les Claypool. It's, you know, going back and just thinking about what, as you were explaining and knowing a bit of the history of this band right here and why it existed. I don't know why, but when it first came around, like, I guess I knew it was part of the jam scene,
But I always thought of this more as like a jazz band, if that makes sense, like a heavy jazz band. And I maybe I'm splitting hairs here because, you know, the line between jazz and jam is pretty fine, I think.
Well, I mean, like most everything I do, I just hope people show up. You know, it's like this band was born out of desperation and fear, you know, because it was right around the time when Primus was going on hiatus, which was just our way of not committing to breaking up. You know, we were technically broken up because we weren't communicating or anything. But I, you know, you say hiatus when you don't want to just stick the fork in it and put the last nail in the coffin or whatever metaphor you want to use. So I gathered my favorite musicians from locally and just bought an old Airstream motorhome and was driving up and down the coast playing bars and didn't play any Primus songs. And that's how we kind of fell into the Animals thing, was because I always said, if I ever have a keyboardist in the band, I want to play Pigs, because that's one of my all-time favorite. It's definitely my favorite Floyd song. But, and then all of a sudden I had Jeff Comenti and we started learning Pigs. And I said, well, why don't we learn the rest of the record and do two sets? Don't have to pay an opening band. And it just kind of became this thing, but it was born out of a jam festival, which was Mountain Air Festival. So I tend to not really think about where I go wherever they'll have me.
Well, it's just more and more. That's what I think. Like, the more and more I thought about that as I was preparing for the interview, it's like the more and more I thought about it, because putting a label on what you've done has always been a quirky, weird and potentially off thing. But the more and more I thought, I was like, you're sort of a jazz artist, you know, in your own weird little world, as much as Herbie Hancock was on Watermelon Man, you know, it's like something like that. Like, I think that's where I would throw you these days.
Well, tell Martin Marcellus that, because he'll start spinning, you know. I'm not quite pure. That's why I have the bastard jazz, because I'm just like, it's an affront to, you know, anybody that's actually into bebop or anything like that, you know. But I do have my jazz roots. I used to play in a big band in high school, and we'd borrow the white dinner jackets from the drama department and go play like old folks' homes and the Rod and Gun Club and stuff. So I played my fair share of Woodchopper's Ball and, you know, Glenn Miller and String of Pearls and all these different things, and have a huge love for Jelly Roll Morton and Fats Waller and whatnot. So if you ever come to our tasting room, that's all you're going to listen to, much to the chagrin of a lot of our employees, because they're tired of hearing, you know, Spike Jones banging on pots and pans in the background with Fats Waller and whatnot. So,
which would have been actually a little bit of a different type. Like, when I was thinking of, you know, I mentioned the Herbie Hancock, but like also like I think my biggest intro, I guess, to jazz, I mean, when you're not just thinking about the stuff that's everywhere, was like Miles at the Fillmore. I forget which one, where he took the live tapes and he just cut them up. Like, that's sort of the style I would have kind of put this in, you know.
That's a good idea.
You could do it. You could do well. Here you are. You're talking about doing Pink Floyd's Animals, and this is where it started again. And here you are doing it again. Was there any conversation about doing a different album, or was this sort of the idea that here it is, 20 years, we could do it again?
Well, actually, my manager has been saying for a handful of years now, hey, people that missed the live Floyd thing, there's a whole generation that really want to see that. I'm hearing it from all the promoters, blah, 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 blah. They really want to see this. They really want to see this. And I was like, well, I kind of been there, done that. But then after thinking about it and having this time in between, you know, we did that whole Rush thing last year with the Primus, you know, the Primus fellas. I thought, well, let's try it again. And this time it's going to be the instrumentation's a little different, because we are incorporating Mike Dillon in there, because he's such a huge part of what just my Frog Brigade fancy band, fungi band is, you know. So it's almost like the complete evolution of my Claypool world into one thing, you know, because you're getting that Delirium element, and you're getting the Skerrick and the Mike element. And then Harry's just a new thing, which I'm very excited about, because he's all pumped up to do this stuff. So
I like seeing you cover the full things, though, regardless of the album. I mean, last year was cool with Rush. I know we talked about that. Have you ever thought about doing what would you call it, a contemporary album? Like, is there anything post, let's say, when Primus really becomes a band, anything past then that you would do?
Well, I always talk about covering Safety Dance by Men Without Hats, because I just think that would be spectacular. But I think that's my next project, which is Less Cliche Pool. That's going to be that one.
I'm sort of got a hidden agenda when I asked that question too. It was baited, because seeing you do the Tool stuff, That's what I was like, oh man, could he do that record? That's interesting, because here you have, these are buds of yours, you know, it's you have one thing where it's maybe the you know, the hero stuff to some degree, but when it's friends of yours, like, does that make it weird?
That might be kind of weird. I mean, I had a blast. So I'm assuming you saw what happened last week.
Yeah, I cut it on YouTube. Yeah.
So I was like a front man with no bass, which was very odd. And I hadn't really done that before. I did that with the residents last month. I sat in with them and I was like, you know, fronted the band with no bass. And it was actually kind of liberating. But I did have to hide behind my pig mask for that one. And this one, I had my horn. I always have to have something to kind of hide behind, because I'm not real good at just standing there and getting my Jim Morrison pose on. But I actually had a blast with that. I enjoyed not having to waggle my fingers, at least on a hunk of furniture anyway.
Yeah, there's still like some hand motions going on.
Yeah, well, you got to do something, you know. You can't just, you know, Jim Morrison was pretty. He was, you know, he had something to look at. You know, I have to wave my arms around to keep people's attention.
What are you saying? That face right there? That's pretty mug.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got the filter on your Zoom.
It was cool to see, though. It was cool. And I noticed sort of the headwear. I mean, you know, I figured that just kind of added to the full experience. That was for charity, right? How did that come together?
It just fell together, basically. So a good friend of ours, Jimmy Hayward, who actually was one of the original animators and designers of Buzz Lightyear. And he actually looked a lot like Buzz Lightyear. And he's a film director. My son's been working with him quite a lot lately. In fact, they're working on the Primus documentary right now. He went down with some pretty serious cancer, and he's been struggling with it the past couple of years, and it's been hard. And, you know, he's lost a lot of stuff. And then his insurance was failing on him. And we had talked about doing a benefit for him, because he knows us and the Tool guys and a bunch of other different guys. And my son's just in contact with him all the time. So he said, yeah, Jimmy just lost his health insurance. So I was like, all right, fuck this. Let's do this. And we just kind of threw it together last minute. And it actually was amazingly fun. And I thought the band was pretty badass. So, I very much enjoyed it.
Well, again, it was fun to watch. If there's ever sequels of that, I'm in for it. If you ever want to do that record, I'm just going to be a nerd about it. All right. That's right. First in line. It's
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Les Claypool.
But I know in everything going on, I mean, last time we talked, of course, was right before you released the Primus EP, which, you know, as you were explaining to me, I didn't know what to expect. And that ended up being one of my favorite releases of last year. Just with those three songs, of course, one of them was, you know, 13 minutes long. So I guess that counts as a little bit more, but I what I was curious about it is, now that that's in the review, because it wasn't hypothetical, but you know, it hadn't been released yet. Now that you've done that, and for all that kind of contained as a project, is that appetizing to you to continue in that way?
In which way?
It was just the EP, you know, the short three songs, but the long stuff. Like, well, that title track to me was you leaning into your Pink Floydness in the best possible way.
Well, I mean, it was pretty Floydy. The basically, we were going out to do the Rush thing again. We'd already done it. And I was like, you know, we should put out something. And like most people, when I go to see one of my old favorite bands, I don't want to hear the whole new record, maybe a couple songs, but you want to hear the old stuff, you know, you just do. So I thought, well, let's just make one big giant song, and just, we'll have one song and a single. And then I was reminded, well, you got to have a flip side for the single. And it was such a long song, we had to have two flip sides for the single. So that's how it started. And then it became this EP. But that way we were actually able to play these three new songs on the road and not just bum everybody out, you know? So it really worked well for us doing that. And as you know, the recording industry is so bizarre now. Who, you know, everybody gets their music in a different way. And, you know, do people even buy full albums anymore? I don't even know, you know? So I just felt it was more, I'd rather spend time and hone you know, one really nice song, or it ended up being three, then trying to put together a whole album and then feeding bits and pieces of that record to the audience as we're out there and play all the Rush stuff. So I felt like it worked well for us.
You know, one of the other things that we get to is with the Brigade here, you know, the last time you did this, it did lead to Purple Onion. Fantastic record. Is that in the cards, do you think? I mean, is it another album with the band?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle of, you know, I'm halfway through this Delirium record, and Billy Strings and I have been working on a record. And then I've got this other thing that I started working on a while ago. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of times nuggets will appear during sound checks or just jamming around. We're going to start rehearsing here pretty soon. There might be some interesting stuff come out of it. And if so, then a record may come out of it. But there's no plans at this point.
You mentioned that Billy Strings thing last time too. I mean, in my head, it's sort of this more evolved version of Duo de Twang, is, I guess, is the only thing I have it based on, but I'm guessing it's much more than that. What does that sound like?
I mean, it's kind of Duo de Twang. But with you know, nothing against Kehoe, because Kehoe's badass, but, you know, Billy's just a whole nother level of, it's pretty amazing playing with that guy. But we just kind of been picking away at it. I'm not sure where it is or where it's going, or if and when it'll even come out, but we have a handful of songs and we've been having fun with it. But, you know, now I'm getting busy and he's busy, and so it'll come together at whenever the planets align.
He does. He blows my mind. He comes around here a lot and just does stuff that I would not expect. I mean, you know, like Pearl Jam. I saw him doing Pearl Jam songs, like two or three of them, but in his style. And I don't know. I mean, there's always been like the bluegrass AC/DC, I guess, or something like that. But there's something about what he does. I haven't been able to verbalize it, why it's so special, but it is. Maybe you're closer to that than I am. You know, why is he so special?
Well, he's had a very interesting life, and I'm a firm believer in people that have, you know, it's like what to me, one of the greatest musicians I've ever played with, and I say it all the time, is Bernie Worrell. Well, he had an amazing life, and he was technically proficient. He was classically trained, but then he had all these amazing life experiences, and just what would come out of him was just so natural and honest. And I feel like that's what happens with Billy is, you know, he's become a good friend and a friend of the family. And I hear these stories, and we have kind of similar upbringings. His was even more colorful in many ways, or equally as colorful. And he's got more years on him than his actual tenure on the planet, if that makes any sense. He's got an old soul vibe to him, and a lot of it comes from I call it salt. He has salt. He's salty, you know. So he's the real deal. You know, he can play like he plays because he sat on the porch with his family for many years and just played with his friends and relatives, you know. And it's like breathing for him. Like, he'll just do a solo and he's like, okay, let me try that again. All right, there it is. All right. And it's just like, it was like Bernie. It just what comes out of him is very honest and natural.
Well, I hope I get to hear what you guys have been up to, because it sounds, I'm interested anyway. So don't hold back. Don't hold that stuff. Don't keep it in the vault.
Well, it's more a matter of just, you know, getting in there and finishing. You know, it's like a bathroom that you're wallpapering and you haven't quite got it there yet. You know, still got to paint the trim.
Well, in the meantime, I will see you. What date did I say here? May 28th here in Louisville. And you got it. Louisville.
I did it. All right.
Yeah. You know what the thing is? I'm going to go ahead and say it right here. The thing is, you got to make people usually screw up on they want to say Ville still. And it just sounds like you do the second half like the first half. You make it sound Louisville. It just sounds the same.
Well, it's like you're turning, it's almost like not quite, it's not three syllables. It's, you guys turn it into like two and a half syllables. Not quite two, not quite three. It's like two and a half syllables. Louisville. So it's like,
it is. Les, it's always a great time talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time again today.
All right. Farewell.
And my thanks, as always, to Les Claypool. Colonel Les Claypool's Fearless Flying Frog Brigade on tour all throughout the summer. And dive deeper into this series, my series, Kyle Meredith With, for several more interviews with Les Claypool over the last few years.
Thanks to you for checking out the interview and the series. I do hope you're enticed enough to hit that subscribe button. Again, you do that, I'll give you 3 new interviews every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep up with your favorite artists. Discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, write to a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I like how you're a little off-center, kind of, you know, a little artsy. Looks good. I got Michael Stipe staring at me and Prince.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.